today, both those of us here in the worship center, as well as those of you who are joining us online. We are continuing in our series, Encounter. Encounter. And we have seen what can happen when people have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Remember, Andrew couldn't help but bring other people to Jesus after he had met him himself. And Martha's sister Mary, remember, she simply wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him teach and share. And then Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish Leadership Council, was intrigued by Jesus. Remember, he came to him with his questions, and then eventually we know that he decided to become a follower, a disciple of Christ. Each of these three persons, different, unique, and yet they each one had their own personal encounter with Jesus Christ, and they were impacted in a unique way. So here's a question. How about you? How have you been impacted? How have you been changed? How have you been transformed by an encounter with Jesus Christ? And how would you tell that story? How would you tell that story? And here's another question. Who could you tell that story to? You know, between now and Easter time, as we're thinking about the harvest, one of the most compelling things that we can do are find ways to share with others the simple story about how Christ has made a difference in me. Your story. I hope you have a story and that you will share it. Today we're looking at another person who had an encounter with Jesus. She was a woman, a Samaritan woman, and she had a bad history with men. And yet one day she met Jesus at a well, and it was a particular well. It was known as Jacob's Well. Now this is an amazing sight to see in the Holy Land. Jacob's Well. It's near the ancient city of Shechem in the Old Testament, now the city of Nablus on the West Bank today. Jacob, remember, he's the son of Isaac. He's the grandson of Abraham. He was the father of 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And he, in that area, dug a well for his family and for his flocks. And then some 2,000 years later, estimated, Jesus comes to this well, and he encountered a Samaritan woman there. And then another some 2,000 years or so now, 2 years ago, Ron Lifehite and I and Frank and Ursula Correll from our church and a group of others were there at Jacob's Well, and we used a pulley to hoist the water up. The text says that it's a deep well, and they estimate it's about 120 feet down. So you have to pull it up quite a bit. But we had then a bucket of water in which we drank from that well. And the amazing thing about it, it's one of those A sites when you visit the Holy Land where you can say, we know that Jesus, the Son of the Living God, was right here. He was not someplace else. He was here. He was in this spot. So the context of our story for today is Jesus and the Samaritan woman at Jacob's Well. So what can we learn from this Samaritan woman and her encounter with Jesus? We're looking at these stories from the perspective of, you know, how can they impact our lives? How can they encourage us in our own encounter with Christ? The first thing that we notice from this story is this. Jesus initiated the conversation. Now, this was unusual, for no Jewish rabbi would have volunteered to carry on a public conversation with a woman, nor would he have asked to drink from a Samaritan's cup. But Jesus was no normal Jewish rabbi or teacher. Amen? And he simply asked in John 4:10, "Will you give me a drink?" The good news that I want to see us to see from that part of the story is this. Jesus is willing to do whatever it takes to reach you and to reach me. You may think that your life is a mess, or that you're not acceptable to God, and that somehow you're going to have to find a way to clean up your act beforehand. But God doesn't wait until we are good enough. Amen? God comes seeking you and I just the way we are. So don't ever give up on yourself. God never does. And don't ever believe that your life is too messed up for God to change it. God cares for you more than you can ever think or imagine. It was no accident then that Jesus initiated the conversation with this woman. Now notice, she balked at first. The Samaritan woman balked. She didn't know what to think of Jesus' request. First of all, she was surprised that he was talking to her. He was male, she was female. He was Jewish, she was a Samaritan. Jews didn't associate with Samaritans. It had something to do with they had intermarried with foreigners when the rest of the Jewish nation had been in exile. And so she balked at first. Verse 9, how can you ask me for a drink? Remember this, oftentimes we too balk at the grace of God. We too are not sure what to think. How can this be? I don't deserve this. I am not worthy. I'm unclean. I'm an outcast. Somehow I'm different. Why would someone ever want to have anything to do with me? At some point, we have all probably felt that way. Why would ever God want to have something to do with me? But Jesus, he initiated the conversation. He was not deterred. He shared spiritual truth. Jesus knew what this woman needed. And notice Jesus' method. He used a metaphor, living water, to talk about a spiritual truth. He wanted to talk about the gift of God. He also wanted to talk about his unique relationship with God. And so in John 4:10, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water. Living water. He knows what this woman needs. He knows what any person who has this God-shaped void in their heart needs. We need power from on high. We need the gift of God. We need God's transforming power by the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. You must be born again. He's talking about this spiritual rebirth that God does in our hearts. That is the basic spiritual truth that confronts every human being. What are we going to do to fill this God-shaped void that is in our hearts? So here's a question. When did you first start dealing with God questions? For me, it was when I was in high school. Who is God? How do I understand God? How do I relate to God? Is God really real? And if he is, what does God want to do with me? What does he want to do with my life? At some time or another, we all wrestle with these basic questions, and where we go for answers makes all kinds of a difference. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I like to go to children first to hear about their answers. So little Johnny, he wrote to God, he says, are you really invisible, God, or is that a trick? A boy named Danny wrote, dear God, I'm an American. What are you? Little girl Lisa, she wrote, dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? So we all wrestle with our understanding of God, and that's why God sent his only son, Jesus, to let him show us what his heavenly father is really like. Well, notice the woman, what did she do? She balked again. By this time, she's really confused by what Jesus is saying to her. Verse 11, where can you get this living water? She doesn't get the metaphor. She thinks Jesus is talking about physical water when instead he's trying to help her to see a deeper truth. Now, that shouldn't surprise us. Often we too are unaware of the spiritual truth that is all around us. Hello? Sometimes we lack eyes to see. Alice Cooper, the legendary rock singer who became a Christian, he said this in an interview. He said, before, you're always self-centered. He's talking about life before Christ. Everything is always for you. Yourself is God. But he said, humans make lousy gods. Sometimes we are blinded by our own self-centeredness, aren't we? Sometimes we are blinded by the crush of our circumstances. We become weighed down. We can't see beyond our nose. Notice, Jesus continued to share spiritual truth with love and compassion and grace. He continues to talk with her about this living water, and he points to himself as the source of it. In John 4:13, he says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Instead, the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to what? Eternal life. So Jesus is really driving home his point. This living water will become like a spring within you. It wells up, and this living water will change you. It will be the water that leads you to new life, to eternal life. This living water will be for you the source of this abundant life that Jesus spoke about elsewhere. So, well, by now the woman is very intrigued. She is very intrigued. She's interested, but she still doesn't quite understand. The woman asks for the water, yes, but she's still thinking in physical terms. Verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Again, it's not unusual that we are not aware of our deepest spiritual needs. You know, sometime who among us hasn't said, God, I know that this is what I need. I know this is what I need, and I want you to do it for me. And yet God knows that's not what we need. What we really need is this. And God knows. Often our understanding is not complete. So little boy Clinton, age 5, he's in his bedroom and he was looking worried when his mom came in to check on him, and she asked, what's wrong? And he said, I don't know what will happen with this bed when I get married. How will my wife fit in it? Clinton's understanding is not complete. James, age 4, he was listening to a Bible story his dad was reading. The dad read, the man named Lot was warned to take his wife and flee out of the city, but his wife looked back and was turned to salt. And concerned, James asked, what happened to the flea? Sometimes, like these kids, sometimes, like the Samaritan woman, our understanding is not quite complete. Jesus, he speaks to our deepest need. He spoke to her deepest need. At this point in the conversation, he says to the woman, verse 16, go call your husband to come back. Now, this makes sense. Normally, a rabbi would have been talking to her husband in the first place. But the question exposes a deep wound that turns out to be central to this woman's life. A minute previously, they were talking about living water, and she said she wanted some. And now this question, his question about her husband, brings her face to face with her own greatest need. The failure, the sin, the shame that she's struggling with. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. boom, drop the mic. God knows. God knows about our failure and our shame. He knows about the things that cause us to hang our heads as well. We all have those things. None of us is perfect. None of us is without our own sin. Notice what Jesus does. She is open to living water. She says that she wants this water that he's been talking about. And though she really doesn't understand exactly what he means, and he gently brings her face to face with her greatest spiritual need, dealing with the pain and the rejection and the hurt that she has experienced in one broken relationship after another with men. God knows. He knows us. And he cares deeply for us. And he wants to see you and I living lives that are healed and that are whole. So in the story, at first, the woman takes the conversation. She tries to take it in another direction. She and Jesus talk about the meaning of true worship, and then they talk about who is the Messiah, and Jesus even tells her that he is that Messiah. And through all of this, eventually the woman's life is changed. What began as an awkward conversation ends up with the woman realizing that there is something special about Jesus. And before they're done talking, she realizes, this man knows everything about me. He knows all about my problems and my shame, and yet he continues to accept me, and he continues to offer me this living water. She's not sure exactly what it means, but she has experienced acceptance. She's experienced the hope of forgiveness, the possibility of new life with God. It's more than she had ever hoped for. And so in John 4:29, she says this, "Come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the what? The Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Because of her personal encounter with Jesus, she discovered new boldness. Hello? New boldness to go and share with others. Come and see this man who told me everything that I ever did, and yet he still loves me. He still accepts me. He still cares for me at the point of my deepest need. If he can help me, he can help anybody. So come and see this man. So friends, isn't that our story? God knows us, you and me. He knows all about the deepest needs of our lives right now. He knows our struggle. He knows about our shame and regret. He knows all there is to know, and yet he still offers us living water, still offers us forgiveness, restoration, new life, a fresh beginning. Here's the deal. You too can experience that living water from Jesus. That's what the woman at the well discovered in her own encounter with Jesus. That's what you can discover too. Amen? Let's pray about that for a minute. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the stories of Jesus. For in these stories, we are reminded of our own story. Like the woman at the well, we have our own past, our own history, our own baggage, and much of it isn't pretty. Like the woman at the well, it's easy to become jaded. It's easy to think that nothing can ever change for me. Our pain runs deep. Our sorrow and shame is long. But you know all about us. You know about our deepest spiritual need. You choose to seek us. You choose to speak to us. Lord, you choose to tell us about this living water, about this wellspring of water that can spring up and give us new life. Lord, we too need this living water. We too need this life, this eternal life. If you've never asked God for this living water, you can do it now. I pray you will in your heart. Lord, pray, Lord, I need this water. I need this living water, this new life. I open my heart to you right now. I believe in you, Jesus. you pray that prayer, tell somebody about it. It makes all the difference. They want to celebrate with you. It's in His name, Jesus' name, we pray. And everyone said,